Welcome to Your Health Today with Good Samaritan Hospital, and I'm Mark Steiner. We're about to talk to Matt Goldstein, Chief of Prevention and Wellness at Good Samaritan's Good Health Center. Matt, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
So, Matt, you got to tell me what this 50,000-mile checkup is, since I'm not a car and neither are your patients.
Well, the 50,000-mile checkup is a head-to-toe, bumper-to-bumper, so to speak, full-body checkup. Just as you would pop the hood on your car and go and have a tune-up and have your car checked out. So this is a way that we don't pop your hood, but we look at your body from head to toe.
So if you're not popping my hood, what are you doing to me in a 50,000-mile checkup?
Well, we start at the head and we work our way down to the feet and we check all the different areas of the body. For example, we look at your vision, your hearing. We could look at your chest, your heart, do an EKG. We could look at your lungs, pulmonary function testing. We could look at your midsection area. We can look at different lab tests that look at your liver, look at your kidneys. We could check your urine. We could also look at peripheral vascular disease, looking at the legs. So we could look at the bones for osteoporosis. So we design this by looking at the head all the way down to the toes and seeing which areas we can screen and pick up different diseases.
When you say look, so how do you screen for all this? How do you do that?
Well, some are easier than others. Obviously, if we're looking at vision, you could look at a chart on the wall, and we can see how well you can see that. Or if you're looking at someone's hearing function, then you can play sounds for them and see if they could hear it. Some areas are more difficult. For example, if you're doing an EKG on somebody and you're looking at their heart rhythm, you have to hook them up to a special device and look at that. If you're doing a lung screening, lung function, so you could breathe into a special tool that will actually show what the lung volume is and how well the person has the ability to breathe and move air. For looking inside your blood vessels, that's even more difficult. We have a 6-minute walk test. We see if you have any pain in your legs when you're walking. Or for osteoporosis, we have a special ultrasound device that looks at the person's heels and could tell you how their bones are.
So this is all this is encompassed in the 50,000-mile checkup.
That's correct.
And so who should get these?
Well, we designed this really for baby boomers, so someone who's...
I should get one?
Absolutely. someone who's a little over the age of 50 or 50 and up, and it's really the person who may have neglected their body, somebody who over time they're taking care of their job and they're taking care of their family and maybe taking care of a loved one, and they kind of lose focus on their own personal health. And they let things go. They haven't seen anyone in a few years. And we can actually go in and really get them back on track by screening for different diseases or things that could be prevented.
Now, is this Good Samaritan Hospital's way of giving people annual checkups who don't get them? Is this what this is, or is this something different?
No, it's different than that. This does not replace going to the physician's office. This is really a way to get back on track and really go into a one-stop, kind of like a pit stop with your car, and getting things checked out, where if someone went to their physician's office, they might get some of these tests and maybe be sent to another place for other of these tests, and we're able to do them all kind of under one roof and then make a packet with the results.
So what happens once I finish this test? I mean, what are the benefits? What do I get out of it? What happens after that?
Well, we create a personal report of the person's results, and then we're able to send that in the mail with some recommendations, maybe referrals to a specialist if we find something that needs to be looked into further. And you can also choose to have a copy sent to your physician. The benefits of getting a 50,000-mile checkup is the ability to look at many areas of the body where wear and tear sometimes goes neglected and to pick up on possible conditions or diseases that are treatable and curable.
Tell us how we schedule one of these 50,000-mile checkups.
Well, we have a telehealth line, 443-444-4100, and you can schedule an appointment. And on the day of your appointment, you show up to the Good Samaritan Hospital Good Health Center, and we have a special personal navigator who will walk you through these number of stations or pit stops where all the tests take place.
So call 410-GOOD-SAM or visit goodsamisgoodhealth.org for your 50,000-mile checkup. Matt Goldstein, a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Your Health Today with Good Samaritan Hospital, proud member MedStar Health. For more information, call 443-444-4100 or visit goodsam-md.org. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back.
I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And we are here to talk politics with you all today. I want you to join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Joining us in the studio today is someone who knows a great deal about state politics and about local politics here around Baltimore as well, Charles Robinson, who's a reporter and associate producer at Maryland Public Television.
Always a pleasure to see you two. I get to see you guys in person. I don't have to see your faces online or listen to your podcast.
Good to see you, Charles.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
410-319-8888 is the number here, 410-319-8888. So let's start. We're going to start, folks, talking about Baltimore City. Then we're going to move to the state. And when we get to the state, I'm going to ask you all, listeners, all of you, about what you think about Martin O'Malley and Robert Ehrlich and the speculation Anthony and I have been making that Robert Ehrlich could really win this race if the Democrats do not excite African-American and young voters. And we'll talk about that and whether we agree or disagree with that. And what you all think about that as well. But let's talk about the city first. And talk about the city first because over the weekend I heard some rumors.
There are tons of them. Which one do you want to try tackle?
Let's start with this one. Because Anthony asked some questions at City Hall today about this particular rumor. Because since it's out there and people are talking about it, I think it makes sense to just share it with the listeners and say it's true or not true. Rumor has it. Rumor one, it was like this. Stephanie Rawlings Blake will not run for mayor. That Martin O'Malley is going to appoint her a judge, says the rumor, and that she has been doing much fundraising, which says she doesn't want to really run the race. Now, that was speculation. Before we talk about all the other candidates who are trying to run for this office as well. Anthony?
Well, I have heard that rumor, Mark. You know, it's been talked about in barbershops. It's been talked about in a lot of circles that Stephanie Rawlings Blake would not run for reelection, that she is obviously will serve out the remaining term of Sheila Dixon. But at the end of the day, she'll announce that she's not going to run again. I pose that scenario to Ryan O'Doherty, who is, of course, the spokesperson, very able spokesperson.
For the mayor's office, not the campaign.
That's right, for the mayor's office. And I'm telling you, he dismissed it out of hand. He said it was a ridiculous rumor with no basis in fact.
So it would do me no good to even
yes,
talk about it.
Yes, that's right.
Did he say that?
Yes, he sure did. He said you wouldn't be doing your listeners any service by speculating on these rumors.
Right.
And then I will tell you, not to be a spokesperson for the campaign, he laid out in great detail the accomplishments in a very short period of time by this current incumbent mayor, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, including Mark, crime reduction, the worst budget in several generations. That she fixed. She's put in a comprehensive budget plan for the future, that she's been working to improve the status of the public school system, the status of families, that she marked her first 100 days in office by looking back at her accomplishments. And they're really, I will tell you, too numerous on this page for me to read. But he made a very able case that she has a record that any mayor would be proud to run on, but said any speculation that she would not be in this race is to use his word, ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Stephanie Rawlings Blake is going to be
in
it.
Now y'all turn to me.
To win.
Am I ridiculous? Or let me begin by saying that, as I always remind myself, all of us get calls that start off like, did you know?
That's right.
Or have you heard?
Right.
And I always remind myself, who's bringing me that material? And why would they be bringing me that material? Let me say, I am fortunate that I was not on the receiving end of that same rumor and would have probably discounted it anyway. When the Sheila Dixon trial was going on, I had several conversations with the mayor in waiting, if you will. And then when she became mayor, she came down to the State House on several occasions. And she indicated that, her heart is in the fight. I was recently down at Inner Harbor for the celebrations of the 30th anniversary of the Inner Harbor, and several reporters, of course, cornered her and asked her questions about what was going on in the city. Let me say that this is not necessarily the greatest time for any politician who is currently in office to be running for office. There, we can talk about mood and sentiment and all of that, but there is a sentiment that there is a restlessness amongst the electorate. And I think it cuts across both party lines. I think it cuts across racial lines. And some are more vociferous than others. And I think that you know, what we haven't learned enough yet about this current mayor is how does she deal with many of these troubling issues? The budget by itself would consume most individuals. And let me say that whoever becomes the next elected official for whatever office will face daunting challenges. And solving them means making choices. And sometimes those choices are not palatable. And in many instances, you're going to be damned one way or the other.
I mean, so does everybody in this room right now think she's going to run?
Oh, I think she's in it.
I think she's in it.
Well, I think that they're – Mark, I mean, let's be honest. Rumors oftentimes in this town, other political towns, have some basis in at least fact. I think the conversations have taken place. I think that the O'Malley administration probably has given assurances to Stephanie Rawlings Blake that if, in fact, this election does not turn out next year the way she would like for it to by winning, that there would be some place for her to land, including the possibility of a judgeship appointment. So, I mean, I think for people to dismiss out of hand that these conversations have not taken place, I think would be wrong. We all know, because we're around politicians, these conversations probably have to take place. Let me mention this,
as I always remind folks, when I started this conference, always remind yourself, where did the information come from? And I think part of it is to, quote unquote, soften up the mayor in order, if you want, you decide to make a run at her. And think about this. You know, last go around, we had a Kiefer Mitchell and a Sheila Dixon and I call the also-rans. And that's the only way to describe it. And you know, some people suggested, well, this seems like the most opportune time for a rerun of Kiefer Mitchell. But if I remember correctly, he signed to run as either a delegate or a senator.
Delegate, for the
44th district.
Yes.
So then the next question I think you have to ask, who's viable enough?
Well, I'm going to go to the phones here, but there are eight people we've talked about, including the mayor, that may be running for this office.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go through the names. And some of them are very seriously talking to people in the city about money, and others, one's a state senator, one's a former city official, and there are others who are really thinking about it as well. But let's go to the phones first. 410-319-8888. Troy in Baltimore County, you're on the air.
Yes, how y'all doing, young man?
Hey, Troy.
Welcome.
Okay, I just heard what Anthony McCarthy said, how O'Malley is basically guaranteeing her, if she don't become mayor, I got your back. I think that's the problem now. She is, Martin O'Malley is so indebted to her family that no matter what, she's going to make out. And I believe that's why she's mad now, because his debt is so strong towards her family that she got everything going for her, because Martin O'Malley is going to make sure things work out for her. And I think that has turned me off about the politics in Baltimore City.
And Mark, once again, what did I tell you about the electorate? It's restless. It finds many reasons to either like you or hate you. And in this case, I think this caller talks about, you know, here's a reason why I don't like. And I can tell you probably there'll be more people answering that call.
Because there is this idea. Now, whether it's true or not, as Charles said, you got to check where this information comes from. There is a lot of people around City Hall, inside City Hall, and certainly in our business who talk about the influence of this governor over the priorities of Stephanie Rawlings Blake. And whether it's true or not, who knows? I mean, she obviously is competent enough to put an administration together, a cabinet that she just shook up in major ways. I think she's probably smart enough and certainly strong enough to come up with her own priorities. But there is a great deal of speculation about the influence that he has on City Hall.
And I think that maybe, and I'll say, listen, may agree or disagree with this, but that maybe it's not so much influence over or on as a cooperative and similar political agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have been political allies for a long, long time. And so, I mean, that's a part of it too. I mean, I think that Stephanie Rawlings Blake doesn't strike me as a political leader who would have someone else tell her what to do. she doesn't strike me as that kind of person. She does sometimes strike me as somebody who's not completely happy with the place she's in.
And so, but, you tell me what mayor is.
Well,
these
no,
days.
Because some people look. Some people
well, I understand what you. I understand what you're saying.
Look at Stephanie. I mean, look at Sheila Dixon. Sheila Dixon loved being mayor. When she walked into the room, you knew the mayor had arrived in the room. There is a very different style with Stephanie.
I was going to say it's style over substance in this case. In other words, I think that the current mayor is more cerebral as opposed to the Flash.
But that's it. But I think that's not giving. Not that I want to be a defender of Sheila Dixon, but I think that's not giving Sheila enough credit as somebody who I thought was on the way to becoming a really good mayor until she kind of stepped in her own past. You know, I mean, and or her past.
Remember, she's not on the ballot. Sheila Dixon is, I mean, not on the ballot. It's potentially Stephanie Rawlings Blake. And I think
no, I would just respond to what you were saying.
Yeah, about, sure, I understand. But I want to remind folks, because people will think this might be a potential referendum on what happened in the past.
Oh, no, yeah.
It's a referendum on the future of this city.
Right.
And that future means a couple of things, I think, that the city residents are looking for. They're looking for accountability. I think they're looking for an economic infusion. And I think they're looking for soundness. In other words, if I remember correctly, there were several firings this week in the city,
mm-hmm.
or replacements. Maybe I should put it that way, replacements.
Mm-hmm. Folks were fired and people were replaced.
That's right. David Scott was definitely fired.
Fired.
Right.
From the Department of Public
Works. Well, guess what? That's what mayors do.
Why do you speculate he was fired?
Well, I think a couple of weeks ago he removed Keisha Powell, who is the head of the Water and Wastewater Department. And I think that rancored some people at City Hall. And I think it came back to bite David. You know, David, speaking to the former director of the Public Works, which in this city is a powerful position.
Powerful position.
Very absolutely.
Powerful, sits on the Board of Estimates, has a great deal of influence over the priorities of any mayor. And infrastructure is a big deal to the citizens of Baltimore. Now, there were some questions about her leadership of her department and a lot of departures in her department. But evidently, the folks at City Hall did not like that decision.
Let me go back to the phones. People have called in and left and would come back. 410-319-8888. Clarence, you're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Hi, Clarence.
Hi, Clarence.
I have nothing against Miss Blake. I think she's a very nice lady. But Stephanie Rawlings Blake represents the box that has existed in this city that has gotten us into the current condition that we are in this city. Me, as a mayor, I think that you should be well-versed in business administration. You should have not only be a politician, but you should have a very good background in science and technology, which is going to be one of the things that's going to lead municipalities such as Baltimore City out of their current condition. The application of science and new technology and new ideas. City Hall is still run, and the same people that have been there for years and years and years are still there. Somebody who's coming out of the box that just takes us somewhere else and can clearly articulate what they want to do, how it's going to be done, and where it will lead us. That's what I'm looking for. And I'm not interested in hearing the same old lines, this is what we're going to do, and, you know, it's just getting tired and old. And that's not anything personal against Ms. Blake, but that's just how I feel.
Well, Clarence, do you have anyone in mind? I mean, as you look at the city and you just described the kind of leader you want, who fulfills that description to you when we look at the leadership of our city?
No one. The only person that I can really think of that would make a – I would like to see Murray, because I admire the man, is Billy Murphy. I just love this guy for some reason, but, you know, he's not interested in that.
Clarence, I got one little question for you. Would you call yourself a I'm ready to vote kind of guy? Well, I might sit on the sidelines kind of a guy.
I'm a ready to vote kind of guy when the person comes up and says, I'm ready to put everybody to work and feed everybody, and I have a plan to do it. Then I'm ready to vote.
Interesting.
All right, Clarence, a committed voter.
And as somebody who knows Billy Murphy well and actually helped run his campaign back in 1983, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think the judge would think that again. I mean, personally, he has a lot of commentary on it.
Oh, he has a lot to say. It may be too big of a pay cut for him, though.
Mary wrote in to say, the city was never this dirty under Sheila Dixon, setting all the overturned garbage cans she sees along York Road where she lives. So that's something that
– perception.
Garbage means a lot to Baltimore.
It does. And the thing is that, as I indicated earlier, this electorate is restless. It feels as though it should have everything and anything, And when you start talking in the numbers, then you start going, well, what if I pull back trash collection to 2 to 3 days?
Well, if you're still restless, call 410-319-8888. We really 410-319-8888. We really know what you think about this election coming up, and you can wander into Martin O'Malley and Robert Olick if you like as well. We'll get there in a moment, and just talk about what you're thinking about this, what the city faces.
And I'd like to know why you're restless.
And Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake and Charles Robinson wants to know why you're restless. 410-319-8888. But here's some of the names we're talking about, who I think clearly are really seriously considering a run for mayor, whether or not Stephanie Rawlings Blake decides to run for election again, not to run, stand for election, and to keep her job. State Senator Catherine Pugh is very serious about running. She tried before. Matter of fact, her face sat on top of that bank for a long time.
She did. She challenged Sheila Dixon for city council president.
That's right, and lost that race. Mm-hmm. But she's very serious.
Without a doubt, Mark. I think that Catherine Pugh, if we had to gauge it, is probably about 95% there. And that has a lot.
That's a long way.
And that has a lot to do with people offering money and people saying, look, let's put an organization together. I think she's been very cool to the idea publicly, but I think behind the scenes there is a great deal of push for Catherine Pugh, who beat a longtime sitting delegate for the state Senate seat that she currently holds, running against both Martin O'Malley and Barbara Mikulski, who campaigned against her in that district, and she won overwhelmingly. I think Catherine Pugh should never be counted out as a potential candidate for mayor, especially at this time.
And I think that and I've watched her positions get more moderate
and more conservative,
as she's been in the state Senate, and it has a lot to do with, I think, her positioning herself and who she's going to get her money from. Otis Rawley, who used to be head of planning, is very serious. I've heard from many people is serious about running for mayor of the city of Baltimore.
Former chief of staff to Mayor Sheila Dixon was my former boss. But I can tell you I've spoken to a lot of people around him. He and I have had kind of conversations around the issue. I know he's very intrigued by it. I think he has some ideas and likes this idea, Mark, that he really is an outsider to government, although he's been a government employee. I think a lot of business people are interested in seeing someone like an Otis Rawley, who they kind of describe as like Booker in Newark, New Jersey, or Fenty in Washington, D.C.
Right. This positions himself as the sensible candidate.
That's right.
That's
rational candidate.
The rational, sensible candidate. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to paint with this smile is about in just a second.
I'm listening.
And then, of course, you can't count out in a crowded race Carl Stokes jumping into the race.
Most definitely.
For mayor.
Full disclosure, Carl Stokes, I work for Councilman Stokes, and I have a contract with another potential candidate that we're going to talk about a little bit later.
Jim Kraft, First District City Councilman. And Mary Pat Clark, if it becomes a crowded race, could not be counted out for not running in this race.
But the big, I think, Mark.
But the big
elephant in the room
is Kwaisi Mfume, who's made it.
Yeah, let me just say, he just took a job with
So what?
I don't see it.
He's very quick to tell people he signed a 12-month contract.
Well,
with the National Medical Association.
I hear you. I'm just, you know, we have been flirting with Kwaisi Mfume.
Haven't we for a long time.
And, you know, not that I think the office is beneath him, but I just think that he feels as though, at least in our conversations, he feels as though there's something bigger out there for him. And I don't know what that is. And I hate to speculate on what I think it is. But I think that, you know, he has kind of said, you know, and he can speak for himself, you know, but I think he's come to a simple conclusion. I don't need to be in this race. I might be wrong, but I don't think he needs to be in his race.
I think you're onto something, Charles, in that I think Kwaisi Mfume, and I'd love to hear what our listeners think about this.
Really?
410-319-8888. What's your speculation? Who would you like to see in this mayor's race? Maybe you are a strong supporter of the current mayor, Stephanie Rawlings Blake. We'd like to hear from you today on the Mark Steiner Show.
Gentlemen, I'm going to be upset with you because I expect to hear radical names. And all I've heard is like, oh, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. No,
but I will tell you.
I'm not nominating these people.
That's right.
And you know, if you, look, let me throw out what I would call some radical names.
Yeah,
radical and maybe unelectable.
Yeah, and maybe not even running.
Right. None of you mentioned Otis Warren.
Oh, this is not going to work for mayor, man.
No,
I hear you, but I would. Wouldn't it be interesting? Wouldn't it be interesting? Wouldn't it be? But wouldn't it be interesting to see if he would run?
But speculation on people who might actually run.
Okay. All right. Well, let me get. Well, let me suggest that another of those people who are not on anybody's radar. I think LaRon Finney. I was at a meeting 4 years ago when Billy Murphy said there was a person in the room who should run for mayor. And he pointed at LaRon Finney. And I had to shake my head. For those of you who don't know, LaRon Finney does events promotions. He's done them for various people around the city. He's always told me, Charles, thank you for the honor, but I'm not interested. But I think that he is one of those types of people that has a champion of this city.
But we are talking about Baltimore.
I hear you. I'm going to throw some radical names out there.
But those folks, as much as I have respect for both Otis Warren and LaRon Finney,
yes, both men,
I think that they are so far out of the political mainstream.
I hear you.
Even a restless electorate, I'm not sure would, especially in these perilous financial times, the crime spikes that we see happening in our city, I'm not sure if people are willing to bet the farm on such unknown quantities.
Not trying to bet the farm. I'm trying to bring new names into the conversation. Mm-hmm. I know we don't like to mention his name, but, you know, Scott Donahue has claimed that he could run for mayor.
We've talked about that.
I would say that he doesn't have a snowball chance in hell, but let's put it this way. It would bring a different mixture into this race.
Anthony mentions his name in the green room before we went on the air.
I think he would be a strong candidate. I think he's got name recognition. He has all the things those of us who speculate about politics like to see in a candidate. He has money, his name recognition, and certainly would bring, as you said, a certain level of
Can I just give one more name? One more name.
Quick.
Delegate Jill Carter.
Always in the running. 410-319-8888. Andre in Northeast, you're the next caller up. We're going to come back to the speculation.
Don't go anywhere, Andre.
Who do you want to see run for mayor? And the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine. Find out more at www.hopkinsmedicine.org. Anthony McCarthy and I and Charles Robinson will be right back. Stay with us. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555, the Maryland State Mortgage Late Don't Wait program. I am here in the studio with my Monday partner. Well, he's been a partner for a long time, but on Mondays he's on the air with me, Anthony McCarthy, who has his own show at the same time slot every Friday at 5 p.m. Never know who's going to have on. It's always interesting. It's not always about politics either. And, of course, Charles Robinson is our guest today, a reporter and associate producer at Maryland Public Television. The number here is 410-319-8888. And Andre, the restless taxpayer, you're on the air.
And I'm voting somewhere.
Andre,
you're on the air.
Yeah. Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to chime in also about this election thing. Because I own a house here in Baltimore, my property tax is almost $3,500 a year, and I come out the
restless
trash out, and I got maggots and everything coming out of everything, and like every week it's the same thing, you know. And I really need some help with some relief too. So this election for me is about someone that's going to make an honest difference in there, and not just going to sit there and blow a bunch of hot air, make a bunch of promises. And then my quality of life in this city is still the same. And as of right now, I haven't had any relief from any of them, from Sheila Dixon or what's her name, Stephanie Rollins-Blake. Now, I haven't had any relief. And what I want to know is from any of these candidates, what are they going to do about bringing the property taxes down here in Baltimore because it's too high?
Is there anybody that you've heard us talk about or been speculated among you and your friends about running that does grab a hold of you?
You know, it was one guy that I thought the principal of Wall Booking one time.
Andre Bunling.
I was feeling him. I mean, his sincerity and his honesty, and I felt like I thought that maybe he would be a good candidate because I think I thought at least he would really try to make a difference in the citizens' life of Baltimore and just not play to the same political structure that's not doing anything for the everyday person here in Baltimore.
That's interesting. Okay, Anthony.
Very interesting. You know, Dr. Bundley actually ran up a huge vote total against Martin O'Malley, did less well in his race against Sheila Dixon. But I have to tell you, Dr. Andre Bundley, he's a consultant or does retention for the public school system.
Yeah, he still works for the school system.
He still works for the school system. Yeah. Still gets an enormous amount of attention, does a great deal of speaking about public policy in the city of Baltimore. I think, however, his interest in being mayor may have waned at this point.
One of the things I told Bundley at the end of the election cycle was that I want you to still engage. You know, one of the things that often happens is that once you run at a high level, you almost disengage from the process. We need people who continue to agitate in the process, mm-hmm. if you will, speaking, doing projects, getting out there, trying to make this city work.
Well, I think that, you know, I think the people we're talking about running here, I think in all seriousness, let's say Stephanie Rawlings-Blake decides to run.
I think she will run.
To keep her office. And she just may run. I think that might be just foolishness rumors out there. But it was important mm-hmm. to put it out there because everybody's barbershop is talking about it. But I think Catherine Pugh and Otis Raleigh are two very serious people, are seriously talking to people about money and running. Those are two very serious campaigns with real serious responsibilities. And I think that you, as I said, can't discount Carl Stokes, who ran a very good campaign last time. He didn't get hurt by that Loyola mistake saying mm-hmm. about graduating, not graduating. It checked his campaign literature. He might have had a better run for that office. And then you've got – and I hate always put it on white and black, but this is Baltimore.
It's Baltimore.
And it's urban America. Jim Craft, Mary Pat Clark, Scott Donahue, all white citizens of the city who may also run. And that these were all – and this if it was a race that crowded and if they all ran with or without Kwai Samfumi in the race, it really could become a wide – it could become a wide open race.
It's the same thing that happened the last time, Mark. You know, we had a bunch of candidates who ran – mm-mm. Who basic – yes, we did. In the primary. Remember, it's about the primary. It's not about the general
Kiefer
election.
No, Kiefer Mitchell ended up being the only serious candidate.
But that's what I'm saying.
Dixon.
Of the also-rans, of the also-rans, the percentages that they received, most of them were less than 10%. And I always remind folk, when you decide to step out there, America provides you that opportunity – that yes, if you have a you have something that you want to tell the elector, you can get out there. But I always remind folks, come with some kind of constituency. I always remind folks that you don't just step out because, you know, you and your boys or your girls at the barbershop or at the beauty salon said, "Girl, you ought to run." That's not a constituency. That's you, your boys and your girls and your boo and your whomever. But at the end of the day, you got to have people who will step up to the plate, who will pass out your literature, who will do the hand-to-hand retail politics. Mm-hmm. Baltimore is a retail politics city. It's not, you know, I just did a story last week on Maryland Public Television about social media and the gubernatorial race. And one of the things that Dr. Donald Norris said was that it's not going to work. Well, we will see. Because
what's not going to work?
That the social media is not going to work.
This is a different day and age.
That's what I keep saying. It is a different.
I can't imagine someone
right,
like Donald Norris would say that.
But then I had a professor on from the University of Maryland who said, this is the coming tide that we're seeing.
College Park or UMBC?
Yeah, from College Park. Donald Norris is from UMBC and the professor, and I can't think of his name.
Right.
But the whole idea is that you, all of us around this table work in various worlds. And in Baltimore, it is still about the handshake. Whether we like it or not, you can have a fan base of 2 million people if you want. But if you don't shake any hands in this city, nobody's going to talk to you.
And Mark, I think you're onto something. We're uncomfortable talking about the racial aspect of politics in Baltimore, but it always plays a role. And I cannot imagine that someone like Jim Craft, who is having a very successful career on the Baltimore City Council, Mary Pat Clark, who is beloved in this city, in the African-American as well as her white constituents, would seriously look at a race. They would. If, in fact, 4 or 5 African-American candidates were in this mayoral race, they'd have to, because we know historically in this city, mm-hmm. You give white voters a white candidate, and they're going to vote for that white candidate.
410-319-8888, and that's true. That's,
and all we had to do is look back to that, to when Martin O'Malley came. Remember, we had Lawrence Bell, Carl Stokes, and those two thought they were going to walk into this office.
Well, they both
surprise.
I mean, Martin O'Malley walked in it, but they imploded.
They imploded.
410-319-8888. Jania, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you?
I'm Jania. Well, welcome.
I just wanted to make a comment about what you said earlier, Mark, about Stephanie Rawlings Blake. I agree. She is not enthusiastic about her job at all. And, you know, Sheila Dixon, although she had her issues, she did actually enjoy her job. I don't agree with things she did, but she actually enjoyed it. And I agree that we need someone in there who's well-versed and has a variety, like, background who can run. You know, I just, and I don't know who we can get in there, but I don't like Stephanie Rawlings Blake.
All right.
The electorate is restless.
And I would say about Stephanie. Stephanie is, an extremely bright woman.
Oh, without question.
Sure.
And has brought people around her who are very bright inside the City Hall. But but personality means.
I think she has definitely surrounded herself with some very bright people. I think she's made some horrific mistakes that may come back to bite her with some of the people around.
One of the things that's interesting in most cities in the Midwest where I've worked before, they have both a mayor and a city manager, someone who runs their day-to-day operations. So the title of mayor of this city is a combination of both. You're both a political animal as well as the what I call the nuts and bolts. You're the bean counter.
You're the
administrator. And that sometimes gets caught up. You know, we've had rah-rah mayors in this town. We have also had some what I call pretty astute administrators. And then, you know, and you want to marry the two. And the question is, can we marry those two in our current climate?
Well, I mean, there's some people running. I mean, you know, I have no dog in this fight at all.
Wait a minute. Let me stop. He won't read it, so I'm going to tell you. We got an email that said that Mark Steiner should run for mayor. I want him to deny it on the air. Are you not running for mayor?
I'm not running for mayor. Thank you. there are a lot of very competent people that we've mentioned who are running, including the mayor that's sitting now. And then there's also the race for Baltimore City Council President. I'm going to go right back to the phones, Jermaine and Chris. You're the next two callers up. But we have Jack Young,
mm-hmm,
wants
the current
to run
City Council President,
to take the job. I always used to joke about Carl Stokes running against, but he won't because Jack Young put him in the council, and Carl Stokes is not the kind of person who's going to put
him very
knife
loyal
in your back. He's a very loyal human being. He would not do that. But Bill Cole wants to be President of City Council.
And I think that Bill Cole's relationship with Stephanie Rawlings Blake, he's the 11th district city council person. He represents a majority African-American district. And he is – constituent service is one of his I don't want to say it's his strong points, but just like Jack Young, who really works day and night on constituent service, Bill Cole is not a sleeper. He really works hard for this district because he recognizes he represents a majority African-American district, and he wants to be seen. He'd be a strong candidate if he got in this race.
And especially if it became a Stephanie Rawlings-Blake-Bill Cole ticket, which is why people are speculating.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been a real ticket in this town for a long time.
I mean, Sheila Dixon and Martin O'Malley ran as partners in progress.
They weren't really.
They weren't on a ticket.
It was not like a ticket. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of speculation about Michael Sarbanes running again for president.
Without question.
With or not is another question. And Bill Henry has been talked about a great deal about running. I mean, he kind of stepped in a mud puddle this last week with this silly thing about lunches. But I mean, but I wish he hadn't have done that. But he's a very bright guy.
Very energetic.
Energetic, committed to his constituents. Mm-hmm. And has done a great deal of good work. So, I mean, that race, I think, is going to open up. I think Jack Young is not going to have a cakewalk.
I don't think he's going to have a cakewalk. I think Jack Young, obviously, Mark, will be a very strong candidate. He'll have his East Baltimore base that will be supporting him. He's building ties. He's been on what he calls a tour of the city, a listening tour. He sits down in constituent groups all over the city, hearing what they have to say. Jack Young will be a strong candidate. But Jack Young, let's just be honest, is vulnerable in this election as well.
He's vulnerable, though, and we've talked about his vulnerability before, but the thing about Jack Young also, let's say in a race against – this is all speculation, folks, obviously.
Of course.
in a race like somebody, let's say, with Bill Cole, is that Jack Young comes off also as a man of the people.
And will work 24 hours
a day. And so that has a very strong – I mean, people can feel like he's one of the folks.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's got that –
in many ways, Mark, that race for city council president will be very, very interesting, especially given the fact that we'll be having possibly so many candidates for mayor. I think a lot of people will be asking questions because in this town we've seen mayors and city council presidents fight with each other. We've seen them work together, and it really has an effect on the electorate. And I think people will be thinking, who can work with this mayor or with this potential mayor, and who can this potential mayor work with as the legislative branch leader? It could get hot at City Hall.
It really could.
It could get hot at City Hall.
I'm only smiling. I was going to say, make just a quip about it, as long as he keeps his summer homes in check. 410-319-8888.
Mark Steiner said that.
Back to the phones. Jermaine in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Jermaine.
Welcome.
How you doing? Hey, I think as we look at this upcoming race, one key thing that we need to look at, whoever is the mayor, one name I'll throw out there, I think off the top, when you speak of radical, is possibly Joan, the name you mentioned earlier, I'm sorry, I went blank. But
Joan Carter Conway or Joan Pratt?
Jill Carter.
I'm sorry, I meant to say
Jill Carter. Jill Carter.
Yeah. As a possible radical who kind of bucks the system. But overall, whoever the candidate is, I think this time around be most successful is, well, we put it back on the citizens. Yes, the mayor or even city council president, all these leadership positions, they are the people that lead the people. But we need to get someone that shows the people that, look, it's not just about me, government, as the office. It's about citizenship. And it's not that one person is going to do it, but it's that person can get the people together to do it in the city of Baltimore. I mean, we have a lot of people who possibly could be mayor who have large followings. And I look at it this way. If some of the clergy in Baltimore were open to wearing two hats, I think that would even make the mayoral race a lot more interesting because you have so many people of large churches who could galvanize a lot of people in the city. They listen to them week in and week out, and just taking it to a high platform from the walls of their church to the walls of the city, I think some of the clergy could actually win the mayoral race.
All right, Anthony, put your clergy hat on. Pick one or pick a couple.
Well, I mean, you have to – you really do. I think Jermaine just hit on something so interesting. I never really thought about it. But the faith community leaders, if we're talking about from Frank Reed to Heber Brown to Walter Scott Thomas, the problem with a majority of, I would say, the major megachurch leaders who have very strong followings, they don't live in the city of Baltimore.
I was going to say, that's the biggest problem. they all
live – Heber lives here, doesn't he?
Heber definitely lives here.
Heber's in the city. He's young, but – and Heber Brown, I think, is his constituency is the street and the community.
Yeah.
And he's not looking to run for political office.
No.
He's looking to push political office to do what they need to do. Mm-hmm. I think he's a different kind of – he's an interesting young leader.
Very interesting young leader. And I think that Jermaine is on something. I'm not sure if we can see any faith leader galvanizing voters for themselves. But I, as always, I just believe when you watch Walter Scott Thomas, when you watch Frank Reed, when you watch Harley Wilson over on the east side and others, they really do have an enormous amount of influence over who they're – church members,
you mentioned
live
that
the
fact
city.
That they don't live in the city, but many of the parishioners do not live in the city either. That's the irony.
Let's go to Chris in Park Heights. Thank you, Jermaine.
Chris, hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hi, hey. Chris. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
Well,
my opinion is that this conversation about the mayor, it sounds just like the conversation about the governor, where people are pretty much predetermined and thrown in front of the people. And then you're not hearing any other voices. I'm not from Baltimore, but since I've been here some years now, Sheila Dixon was the best mayor that I've seen here because you actually saw, first and foremost, the results in the streets. And then second of all, she seemed like she actually, she showed her emotions, but she was out with the people. If the people were hurt, she was hurt. If the people were happy, she was happy. And so I'd like to see somebody who was actually invested in Baltimore. From what I know of her, she's from the city. Her roots to the city are deep, and I could feel that. Everything else is just so superficial, it seems like. I mean, even you talk about the mayor. How do you talk about the mayor without talking about the state's attorney and the governor? This is a package deal to get this city better. It's not one person, one office, and they rule it like these I don't know, almost like sovereign families kind of ways in Blayton, this name and that name and his family. I want to see somebody who really cares about the city, my neighborhood, my family in this city, my voting, my tax dollars, the schools that my kids go to, everything.
Well, as someone, I will tell you, as someone who is around these people a lot, I would never, I just have to tell you, I would never question their commitment to the city and public service. I think all of them at different levels, maybe even different styles, have an enormous passion for the people of this city and for this city. And that's why they're in public service now.
Right.
And I think that when we yes, we're doing a great deal of speculation, but guess what? We're speculating because these people have histories, and even the radicals that Charles mentioned, someone like a delegate Jill Carter, in the last mayor's race, generated an enormous amount of excitement in her followers and in her supporters because she really did attack the establishment, just like our caller just did. She attacked establishment politics. It brings a unique dynamic. But in that race, in the primary, the voters came out and spoke very loudly, even very small numbers, that they wanted a steady hand.
I go back to this restless electorate. I don't think we've had a single caller on this show that said, you know, I like Stephanie Blake. I think all we have heard is, I don't think she's measured up.
I think, yeah, and people are not really sure. I mean, it's
they're really not saying that they hate her, but they said she's
not. Well, one of our callers just said that she did.
Let me show a different question, then we'll go back to the phones here. The speculation we never got to, maybe we'll do it next Monday.
The governor's race.
There's no speculation in there.
It's a tight race here.
It is. The most recent poll coming out of the Rasmussen Group showed that the Ehrlich group was up by
3 points
with a plus error margin of plus 4 minus 4. This is too early. It is much too early. And let me, for those of you who are fans of the Rasmussen poll, just let me let you know how they do these polls. It's a random call to your house.
Very controversial.
And as I remind folks, the only people who talk to those folks are your kids. Whoever answers the phone. They don't ask, are you over 35 or anything. Now, the folks from Rasmussen say, well, we think it's a valid poll. I said, good luck. Good luck. But look, here's the thing.
But doesn't it back up your theory that the electorate is restless?
Yes. And I would be frightened if I'm Martin O'Malley. I'm not only am I frightened, I'm trying to figure out what is the message I want to send. And we've been having these dueling battles on YouTube, on Facebook. You know, the current governor says that Bob Ehrlich's a lobbyist. Bob comes back and said, I'm not a lobbyist. They're just trying to change the subject matter.
I still think the biggest deal here, I'm going to go back to the phones after this, is that it's going to be whether the Democrats and Martin O'Malley and Lieutenant Governor Brown can excite African-American voters and young voters, and if not, then the voting public, which has been many white suburban males, are going to vote, and they're going to vote majority for Robert Ehrlich. That's part of the race.
The energization of those groups.
Let me go to the phone to get our listeners before it gets too late. 410-319-8888. Sherilyn, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm calling from Baltimore City, and my comment is about the rumor about a possible judgeship for our current mayor. And my comment is that, first of all, we would have to elect O'Malley as governor again for her to even get this judgeship. And with close race between Ehrlich and O'Malley, I mean, that's why I kind of think that the mayor is kind of committed to running again.
Mm-hmm.
And additionally, I think she should be given a chance. I mean, Baltimore City, our high crime rate, we have a lot of issues. Our school system, we have a lot of very expensive issues in Baltimore City that she hasn't been given a chance to really address. Her focus has been on a budget.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, that we really need to give her a chance. She's a different kind of a mayor than Sheila Dixon. She's a thinker, and I think we need to give her a chance.
Anthony, we're going to say something, then we'll go back to the phones.
No, only in that Sheila Dixon was a thinker as well. I think Sheila Dixon was emotional, and I think Sheila Dixon had a very in-your-face style. But and I sometimes, and it has everything, I'm sure, to do with my relationship with Sheila Dixon, and certainly I worked for Sheila Dixon. Very thoughtful mayor, very, very focused on public policy and how she can improve the city. And as the caller said, I think there will be a sense, Mark, that Stephanie Rawlings-Blake has not been mayor long enough for us to make real strong blanket judgments about her potential. Or at least her leadership, but not her potential. I think there are going to be people who are going to want to give Stephanie Rawlings-Blake a chance. And there is, as Charles said, the mayor's office in the city of Baltimore is considered by academics, academia, to be the strongest mayoral office in the country. More power invested in the mayor of the city of Baltimore than most mayors in the country.
Let's go to Dana in Mount Washington. You're on the air.
Hi. I would have to agree with the person that just got off the phone because
go ahead, Dana. I'm sorry.
So there hasn't been a time for Stephanie to really take a look at what is going on completely in the city. I mean, when she stepped into office 4 days later, there was like the biggest snowstorm in the world.
That's right.
And given her performance on that, you would think that people would give her an opportunity to work out the financial issues that she inherited, the other administrative issues that she's inherited. It seems like to me like she and Obama kind of walked both into the same mess on a national scale and then on a city scale.
Right. I think that's true. I think I think none of us are here. I don't think speculating that Stephanie Rawlings-Blake is going to lose this election if she runs.
And certainly will be a strong candidate. She'll certainly be
a strong candidate. And with a crowded feel, she does better than the average candidate who's in their race.
I agree with that, too. And part of the way we wanted to put these rumors out there and that people have been talking about.
Speculation. I don't like the term rumors. I like speculation.
You like speculation?
Yes.
Now, every line is lit up now, Mark, as the show wraps
up. At the end of the hour, every line has to get lit up. Let's try to get it. Can we get one more caller in here? Kim, you're on the air very quickly.
Hi, I'm Kim. I'm calling from Baltimore City, and I just had to comment when you said unless O'Malley and Lieutenant Brown energize the African American voters, then they probably will lose their jobs. But I just want to make the comment that not all African Americans are supporting the current incumbent for governor at this time. So, and I think that's one thing.
That's one way that.
Bob Ehrlich won because African Americans and other Democrats did support.
Very true.
Had a lot of signs said Democrats for Ehrlich.
That's right. Just because you're an African American, that do not mean that you're going to support O'Malley. As a state employee, I'm not pleased. Not pleased at all.
Kim, we're out of time.
The electorate is restless. I love it.
I love it. And Maria Allwine, of course, is running as a Green Party candidate.
Green Party candidate. And there's a Libertarian candidate in the race
and
as
a Constitution
well.
Party candidate.
It's going to be interesting. We're going to definitely talk about the governor's race. We're going to have plenty of opportunities. I'm sure the Martin O'Malley and Bob Ehrlich are going to be with us on the air, Mark.
Let's hope that's true. We'll have a chance. It should be. And Charles Robinson, thank you for joining Anthony McCarthy.
Always a pleasure.
Always great to see you, Charles.
Glad it's Monday.
Great to be here.
I got a whole week.
The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite New Zines, e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily content on arts, culture, food, design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered in your inbox. Registration is available at urbanitebaltimore.com. We'll be right back, and we're going to go out to Common Ground on the Hill and talk with folks from Appalachia and mountaintop removal and more. So stay with us for that, and don't go away.